Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 864 Seasons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Joey Harrington's back. And we will talk to him next. Final Four tomorrow. Got any hot takes?
Duke. Loading up on Duke.
Well, you already bet on them, but I mean, no. Are you confident in them?
I mean, Duke's the best team in basketball. They're the most complete team. They're the most talented team. They're the most expensive team. But, I mean, you get down to this, and it's not like I've watched a ton of Auburn outside of the tournament. But, to me, the team that would scare me is the one that Duke is going to play in the Final Four, and that's Houston. Mm-hmm. I was kind of digging through, and they said the last time that Duke has played a team that is a top 25 defensive team,
yep.
It's been a while. I mean, it was...
Well, do you want those numbers?
Yeah, it's...
Because that's exactly where I was going with this.
And it's Clemson.
And I'm not... I have a futures ticket on Houston. I really like Houston.
Yeah.
But, you know, Duke deserves every bit of the praise that they get.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not... I think you could argue that they're the most talented team in the Final Four. When you said that, I think all those things were right except for the talent. I think Auburn probably has the most talent. Like, Auburn has five guys. All of their starters can kill you. Mm-hmm. It's just that it seems like they all hate each other. And so they get pouty when they're not the guy. But yeah. Like, Auburn is immensely talented. So I would argue maybe a little bit on that. But other than that, Duke deserves every bit of praise that they get. Because they are absolutely destroying teams. I mean, Alabama, great shooting team. They held them to, what, 65 points or 68 points or something?
It was never really close.
But Duke has played three, and this is what I say. You said your big thing last week was, or before the tournament started, was ignore it at your own peril.
Yes, there is in modern, since the expansion of the tournament, there have been seven teams that have entered the NCAA tournament that are top 10 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. Seven. All seven have made the national championship, and six have won it.
Yeah.
The only team that is top 10, and by the way, Duke is top 5 in both. The only team that is top 10 this year is Duke. So their profile is one that will not play for, but more than likely win a national championship.
And you said,
and here they are.
Ignore that at your own peril.
Yes.
Well, here they are.
Yeah.
But I think that when you said that at that time, I said the only hole you can try to poke in that, and I don't even know if it's a very big hole, is that the ACC was not that strong.
Yes.
And so maybe Duke's a little inflated because of that. Because if you look at the teams that they have played that actually have a defense, they've only played three games all season against teams with a top 25 defense. They played Kansas and lost.
Yeah, and that was at the beginning.
They played Auburn and won, and they played Clemson and they kind of got housed. So they are 1-2 in the three games that they've played a top 25 defense. And as you stated, The one team you might be scared of most because of that is Houston.
Yeah.
Because it, so far in this tournament, Baylor, Arizona, and Alabama, none of those three teams had a defense.
Yeah.
Houston is the number one defense in the country, yes, if it's not Duke.
Yes.
So that right, and the funny thing about that is, because you may then look at the other side of the ball and go, well, come on. I think the perception of Houston is that they're just defense and grit. Mm-hmm. Do you know who the number one three-point shooting team in the country is?
I'm guessing that would be the Houston Cougars.
It's Houston.
Yeah.
So now, again, Alabama has a great shooting team, and Duke handled them easily. Mm-hmm. But this team has defense, Houston. And so that I'm with you that I don't know who's going to win, and I wouldn't predict the Duke upset here. But if Duke is going down, Houston fits the profile.
Yes.
The all four of these teams are awesome. Yeah. Like the Florida Auburn game is a great matchup. Like to me, that's a toss up. Florida is a better team. Auburn has better players. Florida's better coached. Auburn's just freaking everyone. They just got dudes.
Yep.
So, and they've already played once.
Team. Like I said, their starting five is actually older right now than the Blazers' starting five. So
yeah,
it's not a bunch of freshmen either.
But they've been struggling a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Kind of not.
Looking great. Of these four teams, I mean, they're all here. I think Auburn has looked the lesser of this.
They certainly looked that, but they've also been the best team all year.
Yep.
These teams are awesome. This matchup with Duke and Houston, I think you're going to know very early if Houston can beat them, because it'll be right away. Because I think the thing about the ACC, it really was weak, and Duke did what an elite team should do, and that is torch that league. They did. They only lost the Clemson game. And they've been great in the tournament. But I just wonder, a team built like Houston, I wonder if they can push Duke around a little bit. And Duke's got a defense, too. So let's not act like Houston's going to just, you know, score 95 points on them. They're not. But this could be a real muck-it-up, low 60s type of game.
Well, and I've said it all along. If the officials let Houston play rough, they mug you. I mean, they beat the living hell out of teams. I mean, I saw them play BYU twice, and it was just, I mean, it is a physical brand. So some of that comes down to, too, do you let Houston play a little bit? Because they will get up in your kitchen, and can they push Duke around a little bit? I said at the start of the tournament, give me Duke and give me Florida in the national title game, and I think you've got an all-timer. And I think it's going to be Duke and Florida, and that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
That's what everybody's hoping for, and everybody thinks is going to happen, which is why I think that's not going to happen.
Auburn and Houston.
No, I actually think it's going to be Florida and Houston.
Yeah.
I will stick my neck out and say that I think Houston.
I love it.
Makes Duke.
It's a bold prediction. My wallet.
It is a bold prediction.
But
I just think Houston's going to make Duke. Duke, again, these guys are freshmen.
Yeah.
These Houston dudes are men.
Yeah.
And that will be really interesting to watch Flag and those guys try to work against that defense. And their traps, Houston's traps are nasty.
Yeah.
So ball handling becomes a thing for Duke.
And it is true that Houston and Auburn and Florida are the more seasoned team than Duke that is relying on a lot of youth.
They're young,
yeah,
and they played in a weak conference. Maybe if Houston is going to win,
if there's a
those are the reasons why.
I can see that.
You know, Duke may go down.
Yeah, but Duke has the Knipple.
That they do.
They got the Knipple slip.
And they have John Shire.
Your next great Portland Trailblazer.
Who can stop John Knipple? Well, we're one other thing. We're very familiar with all these coaches, except for the guy for Florida. And
yeah,
I was reading about him today.
Who I know very little about. The other, like I said, is pointed out, are very well known.
So his name is Todd Golden. And apparently he's the data-obsessed coach. You know, you always have this, the analytics guy.
Yeah, he looks like he's 12.
He is that. And they are saying that he does everything by the numbers. He is Mr. Analytics. And one of his big things that he has really spearheaded in college basketball, and other coaches do this too, John Shire does it too, but they're saying Golden was one of the first to realize that you shouldn't put a player on the bench when he has two early fouls. He never does that. And his point is, why would you put somebody on the bench for something that may not even happen? And it's the old adage is your guy picks up two early fouls, you sit him probably until late first half, if not
the whole
half. Because
if you pick up the third, now you're in a bit of a pickle.
But they went through and documented several games where that really worked out for him, where a guy got a couple ticky-tack fouls or whatever.
Let him go.
And he let him play, and they never really even picked up the third or fourth foul.
Well, and didn't he come from the Bruce Pearl?
Yes.
Didn't he coach with
He
Bruce
was
Pearl?
One of Bruce Pearl's first hires when he got to Auburn after his kid.
So that's kind of a fun little, got a little something there.
All right.
Well,
there you go.
I'm excited.
There's
I think
your hot
these,
Final Four preview.
Both of these games Thank are... You. About as good as you can.
Thank you so much. You know what else I go back to with Duke? I go back to Arizona dropping 93 on them.
Arizona put 93 on them?
Yeah. Yeah, Arizona hung with them. They just couldn't stop them.
Yeah, I was looking, 193.
Not 193, they scored 93.
193.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like we're all looking at, look what Duke did to Alabama. Yeah. But let's not forget Arizona.
Yeah,
drop 93. So and Houston is not Arizona offensively, but they can shoot. Mm-hmm. I think the interesting thing will be how does Houston get buckets? If their threes aren't falling, forget it. But how do they get buckets otherwise?
Yeah, do they?
Because they're not nearly as big as Duke.
Well, and I guess the
and they're not that adept at scoring in the middle.
The other. The backup center is it Malik Brown is
for Duke
he says he's gonna play. He said he's not 100%, but he says he's gonna go and he's gonna have a big role.
Houston's just got
a big body in the middle for him.
Houston's just got to shoot. I mean, they're the number one 3-point shooting team in the country. They've got to live up to that
3-and-D, right? I mean,
yep, that's the new college basketball.
Well, normally I'd be all over it, but I need Duke.
It's what a great
it's
Final Four.
The first
four.
Time in my life. Exactly. Like,
are you kidding
no
me?
No Cinderellas, but yeah, come on.
Two great matches. I mean, great matches.
I love the fact that we've got the four ones here. Let's do it.
All right, Joey Harrington is back from vacation. Where did he go? What did he do? He'll tell us next. Here's Will.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, it is story time with Joey Harrington, whom we've missed for the past 2 weeks because he has been traveling abroad.
It's the Joey Harrington European World Tour.
Where did you go?
Where didn't I go? And let's be honest, you didn't really listen to the American. Like, that's so nobody actually.
You know what?
Two times a year when nothing actually matters outside of the sports world, and that's March Madness and Masters Weekend.
You know? Well,
which is actually coming up. Anyway.
Yeah. The Masters is actually next week. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're actually right about that because with March Madness, I feel like that's not something you care about. Am I wrong?
Something that I care about?
Yeah, like if you were here the last 2 weeks. Oh, you do? Okay. So we did.
Oh God, yeah. I'm sports. I mean, yeah.
You're a sports guy. Yeah. Well, then we missed you. We could have used your hot Duke takes.
My hot Duke.
And NIL takes.
Con Knipple and Joey Harrington. Yeah. Maybe you can mentor him.
Yeah.
I thought all I heard was hot Duke, and I was like, okay, never mind. We'll leave it alone.
Wait, where did you go?
I went to the UK and to Amsterdam.
Hot.
Yeah. So we flew. How about this? So we landed in Heathrow right before like the whole thing caught on fire. I'm assuming you saw that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The old fire. Yeah. So we were in Wrexham by the time that caught on fire. And then we missed the stabbings in Amsterdam. We just happened to be like out riding bikes that day and not like down getting stabbed. So interesting. But yeah, so we went to Wrexham for the first weekend. Spent the first day just kind of bopping around the bustling town of Wrexham, Wales, which is, you know, pretty much what you'd expect. And then we're sitting, okay. We went to the match, toured around Wales, saw some castles, back to London, trained down to Amsterdam, a few soccer matches. Where do we want to go? Where are we going with this?
I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, wherever you want to take it. I just find it interesting that wherever the Harrington family goes, chaos follows.
Yeah, no kidding.
Pretty convenient. You show up, airport catches on fire. You show up, stabbings occur. It's kind of convenient.
Well, that actually makes me feel better about the U.S. You know what I mean?
Does it?
Well, yeah, because
that the whole world is imploding.
It's all bad. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'd be like, you come to the U.S., there was a stabbing. U.S. is terrible. Don't go there. Well, where were you? London? Stabbing? Or, is that right?
No, the stabbings were in Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
Heathrow caught on fire.
Yeah.
Heathrow caught on fire.
Some people get stabbed in Amsterdam.
So stories. Okay, let's see. So show up for the Wrexham match. And had gotten tickets through a friend who was like, all right, it's going to be in the boardroom. And when we'd gone through a couple years ago and like done the tour, you know, there was a little restaurant thing, club section. I was like, oh, cool. You know, we'll get something to eat over there and then go into the match. So we show up and start to walk into what I think is going to be that section. And they said, no, the tickets are upstairs. I was like, oh, upstairs. And we walk in and it's actually in like the boardroom. And so we show up like after spending an hour and a half or 2 hours over at the Turf Pub, you know, a few pints in and scarves and t-shirts and walk into a room and it's just like straight suit and tie. Like, and it's full on like the Clampett showing up in Hollywood, and Harrington's walking into the, you know, walk into the door. It's like, hey guys, how are you? And everybody is just like, you know, the women are in full dresses and heels and, you know, guys are in suit and tie. I was like, oh man, like what did we walk ourselves into here? And sit down, get to know some, you know, really nice people. They were very wonderful and, accommodating and so kind of go around and, you know, hi, Joey Harrington. Good to meet you. Hi, Joey Harrington. And the guy sitting next to me, I said, hi, you know, Joey Harrington, you know, good to meet you. Hi, my name is Rick Perry. He's like, oh, Rick Perry, what do you do? And he says, well, I run the EFL.
Oh.
I was like, oh. You, like the the English, like the football league. He's like, yeah, well, everything except for the Premier League. And I said, oh, that's so interesting. So just, you know, this whole new soccer world, I'm just learning about the Premier League and the split from the old EFL, and it was the championship, and then they split off and there were meetings at this hotel. And he said, oh, what book were you reading? It was at the club. I was like, yeah, that's so funny. I was reading the club. He's like, oh yeah, that was me. Those were my meetings. It's like, oh, so you started the Premier League. And he's like, yeah, but now I just run the EFL. I was like, great. So now me and my t-shirt and my, you know, sweaty, you know, beer stained t-shirt and scarf feel very much more out of place. So Rick, pleasure to meet you. And yeah, so that was kind of how
did he know who you were?
No, he didn't care. Some you know, washed up American footballer? No. Although Spencer Harris, who was essentially like the former general manager when Wrexham was owned by the community, was member owned. Spencer Harris and his wife Jenny were essentially like the ones who ran the whole thing. You know, they were telling stories about when they were taking tickets and pouring beers and cleaning bathrooms, and you know, before Rob and Ryan bought the club. But Spencer could not have been more hospitable and generous, and he was a football fan, so he was a big New York Jets fan. And so, yeah, there was somebody that I could talk a little bit about or talk a little bit with without feeling completely out of place.
How much of a boom has it been for them with the whole show? I mean, I know that was I haven't seen all the episodes, but I've seen enough of it. But, you know, what you see on TV versus the reality of it, what's the impact been of them buying the team and then having that show?
For those that don't know, it's Rob McElhenney.
Yeah, welcome to Wrexham.
Ryan Reynolds are the owners.
Right. It's massive. Yeah. I mean, you can't. And that's what I was kind of saying when we first showed up that first day. We spent some time just walking around town. And the director of the women's program, Gemma Owen, they came out this last summer when the Wrexham women played the Thorns. And I got to know her a little bit, and we were sitting and talking, and she said, yeah, I said it was really interesting going around that first day and seeing the town, and she kind of laughed, and I was like, no. It wasn't the town is great. We were really surprised at how many vacancies, how many for lease, how many open buildings, how many. And she's like, yeah, that's kind of what happened to the town when, you know, the mining industry went south. But, you know, when they were growing up, it was a wonderful community, and, you know, kids run around downtown and everything was great. And then the mining goes south and the town goes south with it. But it's an incredibly proud and welcoming, and like that's the thing is they literally have, I was talking to some of the guys in the club shop, you know, who are just selling all the gear, and they will literally have full on motor coaches, like big old buses just show up out of the blue, and off come 100 tourists just wanting to come in and buy stuff, you know, at the Wrexham club shop.
That's awesome.
Like the interest, it is awesome. And the question is that I asked all of them is, how do you keep your identity, right? You've got these Americans who've come in and essentially marketed your city, your town, your club to the entire world. And it's been great to reinvigorate and re-energize and an infusion of money and interest. But at a certain point, does that club, does that town, does it change?
Yeah.
Does it become different from what you wanted, from what you thought, you know, what you grew up with, what you, and it's not that dissimilar to, and this is what we kind of talked about, is the Oregon football program, right? You toil and you just kind of tread water for decades and decades of, you know, the 70s and 80s and early 90s. And then all of a sudden you strike something. And then Phil comes in and invests a bunch of money. And now all of a sudden you're a very visible commodity, and people are jumping on board and people have ideas, but you've still got this whole crew. And I was telling him, one of the Gemma's husband who played for Wrexham years ago, he's like, is there a comparable group of people? I was like, it's the Daisy Ducks. Mm-hmm. Like, I think like the Daisy Ducks were all the grandmothers who would bake us cookies as we were getting on and give them to us as we were getting onto the bus, right? How much more homegrown and like from your heart can it be? But at what point do the Daisy Ducks get pushed aside,
yeah,
right? For the purposes of marketing, and, you know, things change around Autzen. Things change around the race course. Like, there are inevitable changes that happen because of it, but I got to say that Rob and Ryan have done a fantastic job of embracing that. You know, part of the reason why they bought that team in particular was because of that community. And they've done an incredible job of embracing who the town was before and making sure that that has stayed the foundation of what it is going forward.
Yeah, when I lived in Scotland, they have Celtic Rangers are their two big teams, and then there's
right
smaller ones, Partick Thistle, which is, it made me think of that. It's a town, and it's,
yeah,
you know, it is interesting. I don't know if we, yeah, maybe the, like you said, the Ducks thing is an interesting one, but just in the United States, we just don't have that. It's not very often, because that's a university thing. That's a little different. I just don't think we have anything. So if you've never been to Europe, you've never experienced that. I think it's hard for Americans to understand the connection. That is not a team. That is not a sport. I don't know if it's closer to religion than it is anything else.
But see, there's more to it than that, right? And the way I kind of, it would be almost like if Gresham played Park Rose, played Irvington,
yeah,
played Goose Hollow,
yeah, neighborhoods,
played Schultz, right?
Yeah.
Like, they are it's a neighborhood. Yeah. It's not like.
And you don't go outside of the neighborhood. If you're from that neighborhood, you are not allowed to be a fan of a different team. You're just not.
Right. And there's a disconnect that exists let me use a different word. Fans are held at arm's length in American professional sports.
Yeah.
Right. We need the fans. We love the fans. Yet here's the stiff arm. Like, yeah, but you really can't come in and be a part of this.
Yeah.
Give us your ticket money and, you know, buy our merchandise. But, you know, yeah, I'll see you on Sunday in the stands. There is a connection, a closeness, it's intertwined. Like you said, like you can't separate the two. And to see how it has grown over the last 2 years, and to see how the people in the community have embraced the worldwide following. And I think it's really cool to see how the people around the world who have, you know, look, for me, it's like I've told you, when we went there a couple years ago, the reason I'm a Wrexham fan is because of the way they treated me and my boys.
Yeah.
Right, the way they treated our family, the way they just opened their arms and gave Jack and Emmett just this incredible experience. But the great part is all the fans around the world come in with the expectation of, or I should say, the hope to be a part of that community, as opposed to trying to change it into something that they want it to be. Right? People don't come in expecting it to be a Man City. Right. And so how do you keep it from being a Man City or a Man U or a Liverpool, Arsenal? It's an interesting experiment in sports and humanity. How about that?
I like that.
Let's get more of that and more European follies from Joey Harrington next on The Fan. All right. We're back with Joey Harrington. So you said you've been to Wrexham. Well, you sent us the videos last time you were at Wrexham. Wasn't that Wrexham?
Yeah, we stopped by just through town a couple years ago, but this was our first match.
The first match. Okay, so yeah, so you've been to matches in other parts of Europe or England, and how does it compare in Wrexham then? Because my small sort of experience would be I was at Chelsea. Didn't go to a game, but I saw it. I mean, it's like right in the middle of London. You know, it's a huge city.
And that's not a little experience.
Exactly. I mean, it was a whole thing. It was game day when we were there.
But Stamford Bridge is not a big stadium.
Right. It didn't seem it. It seemed old. But it was too expensive to get in. But it was interesting to watch that. But that's right in the middle of London. Wrexham is its own town. What are the differences? Like, is it better? Is it worse? What's it like going to a game there?
It's different. It's like a, you know, I won't, you know, like Texas Friday Night Lights, but it's only 15,000 people, and it's not a pretty new stadium, right? They've got some temporary stands on one side. The three other stands are all separate. They're not connecting buildings. But the passion for it is really, I mean, it's something you just don't see. Like, you're sitting there, You go to a stadium. We went to Man City Liverpool a few years ago at the Etihad in Manchester. Phenomenal soccer. But you're removed. You are a patron. You are someone who has just bought a ticket to watch this show. The great experiences in soccer make the fans, or really any sport, make the fans feel like they're part of it. Right? And that's what's so great. So we went to a match in Wrexham. We went to the English national team played a World Cup qualifier in London. We went to a match at Wembley. And then we went to a match in Eindhoven outside of Amsterdam, PSV against Ajax. That was the best atmosphere that we went to.
Yeah, I saw a game in there when I was in NFL Europe, and it's incredible.
30,000, you're sitting right on top of the field. I was like, this is awesome. Like, you're only 30,000 people, but it feels like it's 80, and it sounds like it's 80. Like, that's the pinnacle of what you're trying to create, right? Wrexham is on the bottom end of that in terms of having that passion, connecting, having the fans be part of the experience, but they're just not big enough yet. Right, Man City and Tottenham and all these other, you know, Americanized sports stadiums are on the complete opposite end, where it's like, is it great to see an incredible sporting competition? Sure, but you're not part of it, right? The key, or I said, the best places to watch sports are when you feel like you are in this unbelievable environment and you are part of what's going on. So Wrexham is still, it's not there in terms of size and noise, but you get it. Like, you're part of the action. You're there. The match when we got to see PSV and Ajax play, that was probably in my opinion, the best of what we've seen. We saw Lazio and Juventus play last year in Rome. We'd seen Man City and Liverpool. We'd seen West Ham at London Olympic Stadium. But I would put the two of the matches we saw this year, the Eindhoven and Wrexham, at the top for me in terms of sporting atmospheres.
Yeah, so, I mean, the only thing we have here that's even remotely comparable is our college sports.
Yeah.
I mean, you compared it to the Ducks. Like, it's kind of like that, which is,
it's cool. And it's like, Wrexham was a lot like, I'll say, like Oregon State. It's like Corvallis, right? Probably, you know, 40,000 people in the town. When the match is going on, it pretty much shuts down, right? That's what's happening. And everything revolves around that center point, you know, whether it's the soccer club or the university in that town. So, yeah, that's a good comparison. And
it's always awesome how, like, I remember when you were saying how welcoming they are. That's one of my favorite parts when I was over in Europe and I would go see these little soccer. I always found the smaller soccer clubs, it just was funner to go to those. It wasn't as impressive, but it was always funner. And because everyone was so, they wanted you to embrace it. They weren't showing you their team. They were showing you their city. They were showing you their family. And even though I got to see some really big soccer matches in front of, you know, 70, 80,000 people or in Amsterdam, which was just incredible, I won't forget seeing it in front of these little kind of tiny, they know the barns, you know, that were kind of old and beat up and run down. The pride they had in those and wanting to share with you, that's that collegiate feel, like the tailgate thing. Hey, you're playing against us, or you're here for the first time. Where are you from? Come be a part. And that's kind of the magic of sport. It's like when you can bring in outsiders and you can find common ground.
Yeah, agreed. Just got to fly across the pond to find it.
Yeah.
Well, now to a real sport, the Final Four.
Yeah.
You know. Well, I don't know if you've even watched, but do you have any hot
not a lick.
Yeah.
Not a drop.
You know what
and
else?
And I actually, yeah, go ahead.
Well, what else we're waiting on here? While you went away and we figured we'd come back, you'd come back and we'd be talking about where Aaron Rodgers is. And yet we're still waiting on
we
that
still
son
don't
of a bitch.
Know.
No.
What the hell?
And you
this
tell
ayahuasca
me.
Isn't even involved this time. Like, they like just get on with it. Let's go.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
What are we waiting for?
Well, apparently he's waiting for the Vikings.
Yeah, I think he has a hope that they'll circle back around so he could actually win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like George Pickens and DK Metcalf.
Do you think if he goes to Pittsburgh, do you think that, I mean, are they in a championship window? Does he have enough left?
Well, it's not Cleveland, and it's not, I guess, Baltimore's and Cincinnati. I can't think that they don't have an opportunity to win there. I don't know. I understand that Justin Jefferson is incredible. I understand that the Vikings are, you know, I don't know. I don't see that much of a difference between the two, personally.
Well, it's still Tomlin.
That's just me.
And he has a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I would just be interested to see someone who is, you're a great person to ask. How much, because you've always heard that Aaron Rodgers needs to run the Aaron Rodgers offense, and we've seen him freak out when receivers are not on the Aaron Rodgers program and see things the way he does, and he wants you in the exact spot, and he is playing with two very talented receivers that are maybe the two most undisciplined receivers in the NFL in Pickens and DK Metcalf. That's the one I'm like, as a quarterback, for you, how important was it to have your system that you were comfortable with and receivers that kind of saw it the same way?
Well, I didn't have my system that I, in my 4 years in Detroit.
Yeah.
I don't know though. At this point though, at this, what, 20,
yeah,
19 years into this thing, it's different than being a fourth or fifth year guy. You know, you're done with your first contract. You're trying to figure out whether or not you're going to stick around or move on to somewhere else, like as a free agent. Like at this point, like it's so ingrained. I don't know. I cannot imagine that it is even remotely about offensive structures or I don't know. I can't figure out what it's about at this point. I don't know.
I think he wants to win, and he's waiting on Minnesota. And if he doesn't go to Minnesota, he's going to Pittsburgh.
It feels like that.
And I think and that's why Russell Wilson left. And I think Pittsburgh's just waiting on him. No, I think Pittsburgh's hosed if he goes to Minnesota. Yeah. I don't know what they
do. Well, yeah. What?
They don't have an option. Kirk Cousins, maybe. I mean,
But he's kind of holding him hostage. But that's classic Aaron Rodgers. That's what he does.
Exactly. Exactly. I can't, I don't know, I usually say I can't see it ending well.
No.
And that's my thing. I said, like, when every, seemingly for the last 7 years, every offseason there is a big S storm around Aaron Rodgers, and then he loves to point fingers at the media and say, this is your guys' creation. But at some point, you got to look in the mirror. And I just, if I'm a team, I understand that you're kind of against a wall, but especially Minnesota, that's a younger team. I that's got JJ McCarthy. I'm not certain that that's what I want in my front door and having my young quarterback see. Pittsburgh, different story. You know, you feel like you're up against it or the Giants or whatever. But for Minnesota, that's not what I want to show JJ McCarthy.
I have a question for you. Last question, then we got to go. Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers as a teammate or Russell Wilson? Because I know how much you love Russell Wilson.
Boy.
It's tough.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I think probably Aaron Rodgers.
Really?
You know what you're getting?
Or he's better?
I think.
Just because he's better. He's a better player.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I don't know. I always feel like Russell Wilson comes across as fake.
Yeah.
I don't know that fake is the word that I would use for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, difficult, now, but not
maybe,
fake.
Difficult, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Difficult, maybe aloof at times, maybe, you know,
demanding.
Unreasonable, yeah. Demanding. Yeah, but I don't know that fake is a word that I would use for him.
Yeah, it'd be better to be. Yeah. Better to have that than fake. We don't want that.
Valid point. I know people that played with Russell Wilson, and it's
fake.
That's a real thing, you know.
All right. Well, welcome back.
Okay.
Welcome back to the States.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things are going great. And by the way, when you said Rick Perry, I thought for sure.
I thought this was
it
too.
Was the old Texas governor. I thought you were sitting, like you go 5,000 miles.
But he'd be in a wheelchair, so.
And no, the different guy.
Oh.
Rick Perry's the old Texas governor.
Oh, I'm thinking of Abbott. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's the current governor.
The current governor.
Yeah, the old Texas governor was Rick Perry. and he was kind of a goober.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure you were just going to be sitting there in Wrexham with Rick Perry. Most random thing ever.
Nope, just happened to be sitting next to the guy who started the Premier League.
The other Rick Perry.
Oh, that's a little cooler.
Yeah, can you pass me the butter?
Yeah. in my street clothes.
Don't worry about this beer stain on the front of my shirt.
Even.
Dude, there is nothing worse than when you are completely underdressed and then you run into someone who's... Yeah. It's such an awful feeling.
Did you catch his eyes glancing at your wardrobe?
No, because we addressed it very clearly right away as we walked in and then sat down to the seated dinner or the pregame, the pregame meal, which was a plated right. whole shebang. And yeah.
But do you tell him who you are? Like, do you subtly get in there that, I played football, pretty good?
Actually, I use the phrase, don't you know who I am? Yeah, that was kind of the first thing out of my mouth.
Do you know who I am? Hi, Rick. Do you know who I am?
I ran into at a concert. I was introduced to the president of Live Nation, and I was like, "Oh!" And he responded with, "Nice mustard stain." I didn't realize that I had.
Oh no!
Nice mustard stain.
And he was a funny guy, but yeah, he busted my balls, and I was like, "Oh my god!" That's president of Live Nation. Nice mustard stain. I was like, jeez. And where do you go from that? Instantly at that point, he owned that conversation.
Tell him who you are.
I'm the guy with the mustard stain on his shirt. Thank you. I'll go away now.
I am Jason French. Jason French is, this mustard is part of my family.
Yeah.
It's my legacy.
My grandpa started the company.
It's my legacy.
Let's compare portfolios.
Yeah. All right. We're going nowhere fast.
That's us. Have a good one.
See ya.
Bye. That's Joey Harrington, each week, courtesy of Mod PDX. The future of building is here. Club 1080 is next.
Oh, no!